For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
The Vic Porcelli Show.
Well, welcome back. Hour number two.
I'm Vic Porcelli. That's Ken
Williams. You out of breath?
I am.
What's going on? What have you been doing?
Talking.
I get out of breath.
Just talking. Yes. Joe DiGregorio is already here
for his 1041 segment with us about this book that he's got about the great Italian heritage of the Hill.
I heard a lot of yelling out there. I was wondering what the heck was going on.
What do you expect from two Italians?
That's true. That's why I didn't go out there. I thought, okay, they're talking.
He'll join us at 1041. 1025, do not miss our, we have the actual FBI criminal complaint.
He has it on the screen, but it's probably a little too close, Vic.
Oh, too close?
Well, yeah.
I just want to get the signatures written.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
That's the actual FBI special agent who wrote this up. So we'll talk about that at 1025. And right now, it's Mr. Greatbeard, soon to be senator guy.
He's known by many names.
We the people are in charge. Once we put the people back in charge, we are going to save our republic.
The closer, Nikki Two Shows, Schroer the thrower, even the bearded wonder.
We are sending as many conservatives as possible to D.C. to take that gavel away from the decrepit, crazy Nancy Pelosi.
Twitter trolls love to hate him.
We love Vic Porcelli so much.
He's Nick Schroer, Missouri State Representative.
Soon to be State Senator. We got to get Jim Mondulin
on the ball
to fix that when Nick becomes State Senator.
Yeah, that's all me. I got to get that to Jim.
Good morning, soon to be Senator. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you for having me on after a wonderful, wonderful Halloween last night. Did you guys dress up as anything, or did you just pass out the candy?
Yes, I dressed up as a fat slob.
No, I just passed out candy. I ate half of it.
Perfect.
Go ahead, Nick. I'm sorry.
I was going to say my wife and I, we always try to dress up with the girls. This year, the girls did something a little bit different, so we couldn't do the Fantastic Four or anything like that. So my wife and I tag teamed as Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson.
Oh, there you go. Wait, who was who?
Of course, I was the greatest in outlaw country music, Waylon Jennings.
And your wife was Willie Nelson?
Oh, yeah. I'll send you the pictures.
That's funny. I gotta see that. And how about the girls? What were the girls?
So the little one, who's a little Hellraiser, she was Harley Quinn.
Oh, yeah.
From, comic books or whatever. And my oldest one, she was a witch.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's all over the place. First year for that, but... Yeah, we still got to do the dressing up of the parents, which is always a fun thing. The Democrats do it every single day. Republicans only get one day out of the year.
Yeah, you're right. that's our day. No, we didn't do much at all. So enough of that. All right, Nick. So we're 7 days away, man. 7 days away from what could be a really good day.
Don't say it.
I won't say it. I'm not going to say it. Not going to say it. But I'm hoping that, that the House of Representatives, history tells you that was going to happen, right? The Senate, too, in one night, man, that'd be a fun party.
Nick?
We lost Nick.
We did.
Opal cut out on us.
How'd that happen?
I don't know.
Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are. What are you doing, man?
I'm still here.
Stop messing around. So anyway, it could be a big old party week from tonight.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I'm hoping we see the red victories, the Republican victories in Congress. But I'm also hoping that we see states like Oregon that hasn't had a Republican governor since the 80s. I think before I was even born. They have the possibility of electing a Republican. New York has the possibility of electing a Republican. And I think because of the prioritization that the Democrats have put into things like January 6th and covering up all of the craziness that you get with Biden and all of his gaffes and abortion, a lot of these people that are seeing their property values drop, the cost of everything increasing, cost of gas increasing, crime spreading like the Black Plague. This is just something that Americans are sick and tired of right now.
Exactly right, Nick. And you're talking about New York. Lee Zeldin in the polls right now is actually ahead of Kathy Hochul for governor. And the left, sometimes they say things, Nick, without even thinking what they're saying. Somebody called Lee Zeldin anti-Semitic. I'm like, excuse me, he's Jewish. Why don't you wake up?
And- well, it's like calling Herschel Walker a white supremacist.
Exactly.
As well.
Right.
That's what the Dems do. All they know how to do right now is name call, scare, and intimidate. We see it on my Twitter. If anybody wants to have a good 20 minutes, just go to my Twitter. And it's funny because the Democrats want to sit there, kick and scream, name call, cuss, threaten you. And as soon as you fight back, as soon as you meet them at the same level that they're treating you as,
yep.
Oh my gosh, their whole world is blown up, and then they block you. So that's why I am encouraging everyone not only to come and vote, but start standing up for the conservative values, the conservative principles that you stand for. Stop being conservative with the use of your mouth and start running at the mouth and start letting people know we're not the only ones.
Hey, Nick, I warm up to your Twitter before I get onto mine. I actually just had my first death threat. Someone wanted me to die.
Man.
You should die. Hey, Vic and I got your pictures of you being Waylon and then your wife being Willie.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. She ended up buying a little fake beard, and she was even asking me. She said, "Oh, is this what it feels like to have a beard?" I said, "I don't know what you're feeling, but it's pretty awesome."
She's too pretty to be willing.
Yeah,
I didn't feel like
I know.
But you did a good job. No, you guys did a great job. That's quite an outfit. Nice.
Nick Schroer, another guy probably punching above his weight, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, me too.
Always.
All right. So listen, I want to talk a little serious thing here. Nancy Pelosi, you know, her husband got attacked and hit in the head with a hammer. And now, will you do me a favor, Ken? Will you look up the host of the Face the Nation on CBS? Because yeah, she's the one who said it. Yeah. She had a Republican, I think, governor on. And she said, now, don't you think they should take Nancy Pelosi? Republicans should take Nancy Pelosi out of their ads because of what happened here? And I'm like, wait a minute. Because her husband got hit in the head with a hammer doesn't make her a better person or a better candidate.
Margaret Brennan.
She said that on Face the Nation. And then, so we come in today and we play your opening and you say that, what does he call her? The crazy decrepit Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
We're not taking that out because
she's still a Tales from the Crypt keeper.
Exactly. Even though her husband got hit with that a hammer doesn't make her any better of a person.
No.
You know, this whole situation, I talked to Tony Colombo yesterday on the Tony Colombo and Katie show. And to me, this is just very disturbing. Number one, you have two grown men, one in his 80s, frolicking around at 2 a.m. in the morning in their underpants, one of which has a hammer. The law enforcement in California yesterday at a press conference indicated that they both had a hammer at one point and they were struggling over the hammer. We've had so many reports that when Paul Pelosi called 911, he mentions this attacker by name, like he knows him. You know, there are so many strange things going on here, but the strangest of them all is, where was the media treating the attacks on Lee Zeldin when this year he got attacked on stage in New York by a crazed Democrat with a knife? Where was the media when Steve Scalise was shot and almost lost his life because a crazed Bernie Sanders supporter shot up the congressional softball practice?
Yeah.
Or even going back when Rand Paul, in the media even made fun of Rand Paul and said that was the greatest news story of the day, that he had sustained broken ribs when he was attacked by his Democrat neighbor.
Yeah, that was her favorite story.
Yeah,
I'm sick and tired of this. I truly am. I'm sick and tired. And that's why I've stood up and determined I have to go into the Senate. That's why I put my name on the ballot, because I am sick and tired of the Democrats treating Republicans a very horrible way. It's like, you know, in grade school, if Republicans started with an F and you had a go from there and all the Democrats start as an A, it's just not fair. And I think with journalistic integrity, what it should be is starting everybody at the same playing field and treating them the same way, not having different values and beliefs just depending upon the political party you affiliate with. This is garbage. You know, I don't know the ins and the outs. I don't know if we're ever going to find out the true story behind this Pelosi situation, but it's very convenient that a guy, and I don't know any hippies that live in their vans in California that also happen to be reverence for same-sex weddings. I know no Republican, so if anybody can find at least one Republican that's a nudist hippie living in California, let me know. But it's funny how the media even acknowledges 10 years ago this guy was a far lefty. His girlfriend, who's, by the way, he's still living in front of her house in a school bus, his ex-girlfriend says, no, this guy's not a Republican. He's the biggest progressive you'll ever meet. He's a nudist.
Astro-nudist, whatever that means.
Yeah, so... Yeah. Yeah, I still don't know what the heck that means. But now the media is trying to liken him to MAGA Republicans and QAnon. This is garbage, and I'm glad that people like the new leader of Twitter are fact-checking this story, at least calling it into question.
Do you hear him fade out?
Starting to fade out, yeah. Are you coming back, Nick?
There he is.
I'm still here.
All right, talk fast. All right, listen. Coming up next, right after this segment, Nick, we are going to read... Because you were talking about what happened that night at 2 o'clock in the morning. Stephanie Miner happens to be the special agent in charge of this investigation. And this investigation, by the way, took 24 hours to fix and gone.
Oh, gone. Boom.
FBI has been working on things for years and years. They can't seem to figure out. But this one, with the most weirdest circumstances, somehow they wrapped it all up in 48 hours. And by the way, I'm sorry, let me finish what I was saying. So we're going to read the actual criminal complaint, Nick, at 10:25.
I'm looking forward to it. I have not had the opportunity to look at it yet. And it's astonishing that they're able to wrap up these investigations, but they're still parading all of this garbage out on January 6th with, you know, Pelosi's daughter, who we didn't know about it until just a couple days ago, was there to record everything.
Yeah.
Just convenient how that works.
And then I forgot what I was going to say when I did the by the way thing. That's why I don't know. Anyway, but the vagueness in the report, Nick, will blow you away. I mean, some of the things that I'm going to read to you coming up next, you're going to say, wait a minute, what happened next? There's so many what happens next that is not in the official criminal complaint. All right, enough about that. Let's talk about you, Nick Schroer. So a week from today, campaigning going well, I guess?
Campaigning is going very well. A couple weeks ago, we had, I'd say the majority of our big signs were just mysteriously disappeared in one fell swoop. So we're trying to replace them, trying to get all the voters to either go to the election authorities right now. Whether you like it or not, this year they started the no excuse absentee voting. You can go now, go to your election authority, or get out there on the day of. But yeah, things are going really good. I'm seeing a ton of Republican signs up. I'm seeing a ton of Republican yard signs and presence on social media. I think that the people are fired up, whether it's the parental rights, if it's the crime, and I'm hoping that we can have a phenomenal election party come next Tuesday.
Tonight, Mark Montavani and Sam Page are going to debate. When are you and your opponent going to debate?
I think when hell freezes over, a Democrat or even a rhino will debate me. Yeah. We tried to debate my former opponent in the primary at least five times. We've asked for several different debates in this election. And, you know, it's come to the consensus that, you know, nobody's going to come forward and debate me. So that's why I'm so active on social media and News Talk STL to get our message out there, even though the left is trying to stamp it down.
Well, you just be sure you stand and fight.
We'll do every single Sunday. And I think this Sunday we might have Rick Pogue from Johnny's Hideout.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to have a big showing for Yellowstone, the new premiere. I think that's next week. So keep your radio dials on News Talk STL this Sunday. If you miss it for any reason, look it up anywhere that podcasts are available, Spotify, Apple. But every Sunday, 8 p.m., stand and fight. And if you need to pay attention to what's going on social media, find me at Nick Schroer. .com.
I wasn't wrapping up the interview. I was just trying to give the show an extra plug. That's all. So we'll be able to.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you bet. So interesting that you bring up Rick Pogue, because Ken and I were making fun of Biden when he said that they went to all 54 states, right? And, you know, he couldn't remember how many states there were. So Rick just texted me and he says, I think Biden was letting a Freudian slip go there. They want to add D.C. as a state, Puerto Rico as a state, and probably more so they could stack the Senate.
Yeah.
He said that's why we had to go to 54 different states. He was literally telling us what their plan is. Total head.
Yeah.
Just my opinion.
If you remember when Obama was campaigning, he said that he was at 57 states.
That's right. We brought that up.
So I don't know what where these extra states are and why Obama thinks there's 57 and what happened to those three that now Biden says there's only 54. But it is concerning because the Democrats have showed us time and time again, especially in 2020, they want to get rid of the filibuster. They want to add Supreme Court justices. They want to add new states that are going to lead to Democrat strongholds in Puerto Rico, D.C. You know, this is why it is so important that we do stand and fight, because this election, I kid you not, I've said it time and time again, you hear it from Bill O'Reilly, from Sean Hannity, the most important election in our lifetimes. This is it, folks.
Yep.
This is it. We see the indoctrination in our schools. We see the crime spreading. We see these Soros-funded prosecutors and left-wing lunatics like in Illinois allowing for no cash bail, putting violent criminals back out on the streets. Our future is at stake. Our republic is at stake. And that is exactly why we need to combat this garbage that Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer are trying to push forward, which is truly extreme. Adding additional states to the union just so you can get extra votes. Come on, that's ridiculous.
Nick, the Democrats and the liberals are in a constant state of rigging the game. Constant.
Yep.
This whole thing.
Yeah, I'm just hoping, you know.
Go ahead.
Like I was going to say, the Supreme Court finally came down, gave us a temporary victory on Trump's taxes today. Mm-hmm. But that's what we're going to have. We're going to have strong courts to withstand all of these attacks and all of these smear jobs that the Democrats are going to throw in front of all the Republicans, including Trump, DeSantis, Carrie Lake, all of these fighters that the Republican Party needs.
So I'm a little confused, actually, because Sam Page and Mark Montevani are going to debate tonight. Tonight is Tuesday, which is St. Louis County Council meeting night. So what's going on? I mean, is it going to be a county council meeting without Sam Page, or is the county council meeting preempted tonight? What's going on? Do you know by any chance?
I don't know, but let's be honest. I think any county council meeting that doesn't have Sam Page there is
a better one. Right. Absolutely right. All right. So I hear a show called Stand and Fight on Sunday nights. You know anything about that?
Yeah, it's one of the best ones.
That's you know, what you I hear.
If you want to see what's happening in politics, especially going into these elections next week, tune in this Sunday, 8 p.m. Like I said, we're going to have my good friend, my boss, actual family member. So we're going to dig into that, how we are related. And it all goes back to the Emerald Isle, Ireland. But we're going to have Rick Pogue. Hopefully he's going to be able to make it and talk about his new venture, Johnny's Hideout, and their big event coming up with the Yellowstone, the Kevin Costner show. Yellowstone is coming back on. And they are there at Johnny's Hideout to play it for everybody.
I got to watch that show. Everybody tells me to watch that show. Yeah. Now there's not only Yellowstone, but there's a prequel, right?
Yeah, that's 1854 right. Or something like that. It's pretty good. But, you know, you like The Sopranos.
I do.
I like Sons of Anarchy. And it's just like those shows, but in the Montana, Wyoming wilderness. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Nick, kiss those girls for me, all right?
Will do.
And
God bless you guys. Have a great week.
Nick Schroer, soon to be state senator.
And thanks, Nick.
We'll get to talk to him on election day next week.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be great. All right. Coming up at 10:41, Joe DiGregorio about his new book about the Hill, which I absolutely can't wait to dig into with him, not to mention dig into some cannoli, brother. Leave the gun, take the cannoli.
All right.
Some
here, all right.
And coming up next, the criminal complaint by the FBI about the Paul Pelosi incident. That's next on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Welcome home.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. You're listening to The Vic Porcelli Show.
Whoosh.
Made in St. Louis, for St. Louis. It's News Talk STL.
All right. Glad from traffic. I think we've come to the conclusion, clearly inspired by the Ramsey Lewis Trio.
It has to be.
Right? The In Crowd was the Ramsey Lewis song. Joe DiGregorio is going to join us at 10:41. He's got a great book out all about the Hill and the heritage and the restaurants and all everything about the Hill is in this book. We'll talk to him coming up at 10:41. But right now, Ken, I want to talk about and read to you excerpts from the criminal complaint written by Special Agent, FBI Agent Stephanie Miner, FBI Special Agent, and signed off by the Honorable Thomas S. Hickson, U.S. Magistrate Judge.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
On October 28th, 2022, At 2:23 a.m., San Francisco Dispatch received a 911 call from Paul Pelosi, located at the Pelosi residence in San Francisco, California. Pelosi stated words to the effect that there is a male in the home and that the male is going to wait for Pelosi's wife. Pelosi further conveyed that he does not know who the male is. The male said his name is David. Now, we have told you that the dispatch call, not the 911 call, but the dispatch call said Paul Pelosi called the guy in his house. His name is David, and he's a friend.
Mm-hmm, right.
Okay. So right away, discrepancy right there between.
Yeah, I would say.
What we've heard and what's in the report. 2:31 a.m. 2:23, the call went out. At 2:31, San Francisco police officer Colby Wilmes responded to the Pelosi residence and knocked on the front door. When the door was opened, Pelosi and DePape were both holding a hammer with one hand, and DePape had his other hand holding onto Pelosi's forearm. So DePape is holding a hammer with one hand and Pelosi's forearm with the other hand.
Right.
So let's go back a sentence, okay? They knocked on the front door. When the door was opened, nothing in here on who opened the door.
No.
And let the police in.
No.
So now all we can do is use conjecture from here, right?
Correct.
So Pelosi was being held by the forearm. The other guy had his forearm and the hammer in the other hand. Did Pelosi say, hold on, I'm sorry, 1 second. Before you beat me with that hammer, let me get the door. So, you see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, totally.
There's already ambiguity here, and I don't know.
Well, there's two different.
Yeah. Police greeted the officers. Pelosi greeted the officers, it says, in the criminal complaint. So now how did that happen? You know, hold on. Before you beat me with that hammer, yeah, how you doing, guys? Paul, come on in. You want some coffee?
Come on in, because I'm going to walk over here. I have to walk back over here, though.
You want some cannoli? This guy's going to beat me in the head with a hammer here. But come on in. The officers asked them what was going on. DePape responded that everything was good. Officers then asked Pelosi and DePape to drop the hammer. So instead of going right in, Paul Pelosi, husband of the person that's third in line to the president of the United States, says, what's going on? Well, you see a hammer. You see Pelosi being held by his arm. What do you think's happening? You know? Why wait is my point. I think they could have prevented Paul Pelosi from getting hurt at all if they rushed this guy right away.
And apparently, and I don't know, do they mention this in here or not, that apparently they were both in their underwear.
It does not say that in here.
Okay.
So I just want to, yeah, I know. We've heard everything. We've heard all the weird stuff, right? But I just want to read you what's in the official. This is an official document.
Well, the reason why I brought that up isn't just to make any accusations, because I don't care. What I'm bringing it up for is the police came in. They're probably, like, confused about what their intentions are, what they're doing.
Right.
You know.
I think we might be getting to that. I'm not sure. DePape pulled the hammer from Pelosi's hand and swung the hammer, striking Pelosi in the head. Then officers immediately went inside and were able to restrain DePape. Now, what does that mean? Went inside. The paragraph before says they were let in.
They were greeted.
Greeted when the door was opened.
Yeah.
So in the paragraph before it, the door was already opened, but they waited outside. To wait for Pelosi to get hit in the head with a hammer and then went in and got it?
So they were, the way I'm visualizing it, Vic, they were in the threshold of the door. Door's open. He greets them, opens the door. They're standing there. He goes, okay, I'll be right back. Yep. And he goes back to DePape.
Yep.
And that's when it all happened.
They restrained DePape. While officers were restraining DePape, Pelosi appeared to be unconscious on the ground. Officers removed the cell phone, cash, Clipper cards. That's cards that you use to ride the BART, which is the Bay Area Rapid Transit. Mm. So it's that you put it in, and that's how you pay for your train ride. And an unidentified card. Apparently, that was a three of diamonds. I don't know. Mm. From DePape's. That was a joke. Sorry.
Okay.
From DePape's right shorts pocket. DePape provided officers his first and last name. After officers asked DePape if he had an ID on him, DePape said it might be in his backpack on the back porch, and later stated his backpack was near the broken glass. When officers removed DePape from Pelosi's residence, police body-worn camera footage showed a glass door that appeared to be laminated glass broken near the door handle. Now, if you've seen the picture of the broken glass, right, with the glass on the outside, it's not the door glass at all. It's the window glass.
Yeah, yeah.
The door's not hurt. The door was not right.
Yeah.
There was a window. San Francisco Police Department recovered zip ties in Pelosi's bedroom. So the story, according to the DA, too, was that DePape came up to the bedroom and woke him up, woke Pelosi up in bed.
Okay.
So zip ties in the bedroom and in the hallway near the front door of the Pelosi residence.
Okay, stop. Can I just interject? Just from my perspective, okay, I have two Nest cameras in my house. Anybody comes near my house, it's going to go off. Yeah. I'm going to be alerted.
Yeah.
In a house of a mansion size like that, you would think that they would, before this guy could even get into the house or anywhere near it, Pelosi would have been alerted. So for him to be able to get up to his room, I don't know, it just doesn't fit.
Ken, if a leaf blows by the camera in front of our house, yeah, I get the notification.
Yeah.
There's something at the front door. So you're right. In addition, law enforcement searched DePape's backpack at the Pelosi residence, and they found, among other things, a roll of tape, white rope, one hammer, one pair of rubber and cloth gloves, and a journal. So he had two hammers, but only one was in the incident.
A journal.
A journal. San Francisco Police Department officer Colby Wilms was able to interview. Okay, this is great. You ready? Colby Wilms, a police officer, was able to interview a witness. Witness one, who saw an individual in all black carrying a large black bag on his back walking near the Pelosi residence where witness one was parked. You ready for this? Witness one was working private security at an address nearby. So somebody who was working private security saw DePape, all dressed in black, walking towards...
With a backpack,
walking towards Pelosi's house, never calls police.
That doesn't make sense. It just doesn't.
When I heard what sounded like banging on either a door or car, then heard the sirens within a minute or two. Actually, he never called police. This guy working security for a neighbor didn't have the sense to call police when he saw somebody suspicious walking toward the Pelosi house.
Okay, can I give an example of something that happened to me last night?
Yeah.
My cross-street neighbor, she's 74 years old, and we watch her. I was outside, it was about 10 o'clock last night, and a guy was walking around her house with a flashlight. Lights were all off, and he was parked in front of my driveway with his lights on, or his blinkers on. And I walked out, and I said, hey, what's going on? You know, because I want to know. I want to make sure my neighbor's okay.
Yeah.
You don't need to know. Just go on in your house. Oh. I said, okay, that's not going to happen.
Right.
What are you doing?
Right.
And he goes, it's none of your concern. Oh. I said, well, it is my concern. Right. And he goes, well, I'm going to call the police. I said, I'm in my front yard. I'll call my police.
Yeah, right.
How about that? So my point is, I saw that happening, and I responded. And I'm just a person, you know, just living there.
Right.
This guy is running security.
Right.
For someone.
And this guy was another security watching another house, and his extensive training didn't tell him to call somebody when he saw a guy dressed in black walking towards Paul Pelosi's house.
Right. Right.
God almighty. Pelosi was then interviewed in the ambulance that he was just unconscious a second ago. Now he's back to consciousness. During the transport to San Francisco General Hospital, Pelosi stated that he had never seen DePape before. And I'll say it again, in the dispatch call to police cars, Paul Pelosi called him a friend. Okay. So here's another
by name.
Right. So Pelosi is confronted by this guy, and he called 911 from the bathroom. Okay. First of all, do you know they have an elevator in the house? They have an elevator.
Yeah. Nice.
Pelosi was going to use the elevator, and DePape stopped them from using the elevator. So I guess Pelosi said, look, before you beat the crap out of me with that hammer, I just got to pee. Okay.
Right.
I'm going to go to the bathroom real quick. I'll be right back. And that's where he calls 911 from the bathroom. You know, police arrived within minutes. Why did Paul Pelosi leave the bathroom? Why did he leave the bathroom? Why didn't he stay? He was safe there until the police came.
Right.
But nope, he walked out of that bathroom and talked to his friend David.
And that's why I have a problem with them saying that the guy didn't know him.
All right, look, we're out of time, which I knew was going to happen. But is there any way the link I sent you, can you put this link somewhere where people can find it and read it themselves?
Yeah.
Do you know how to do that?
I'll look into it and see if we can get it up on the Facebook page at least.
Yeah. Okay. It's crazy. I mean, yeah, no, wait, hold on. Hold on. No, hit me with the hat. No, not you. I'm being Paul Pelosi. Don't beat me up with that hammer yet. I just gotta pee so bad. And I'll be right back.
Then
you can hit me right in the head with the hammer. It's fine. All right, coming up next, Joe DiGregorio with a great new book on the Italian heritage of the Hill. That's next on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Welcome home.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. You're listening to The Vic Porcelli Show.
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
Made in St. Louis for St. Louis. It's News Talk STL.
Welcome home to 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Ken played Leave the Gun, Take the Cannoli, because our next guest brought us cannoli. And he also brought in a copy of his book, The Hill, A Walk Through History. His name is Joe DiGregorio. How are you? Thanks
Buongiorno,
for coming.
Buongiorno, Vic.
Buongiorno.
Come sta bene, bene.
So bene.
And you too, Americani guy, too.
Oh, hey, thanks,
okay.
Joe.
Okay.
So this book, The Hill, A Walk Through History, it looks like a nice, easy read. You know, it's not big and thick. It's got all kinds of restaurants and stuff. And I love that Canetto's House of Pasta is featured in this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's my favorite.
Is it really? Yeah. The Pasta Tutamare is my favorite.
My favorite is the aglio olio, which is garlic oil and anchovies. And they use this big, thick pasta. Oh, my God, it's so good.
Yeah, just a note to our listeners, when you get two Italians, Southern Italians together, they're going to talk about food.
Of course.
Okay, you got to handle
that.
You got to handle that.
And another thing I like about Canetto's is it looks like a mob hit can happen at any time. Right? It's got that old world, old school look.
Well, it was Midge Barra's dance hall for quite a while, the Brass Key.
Huh. Barra.
Yeah. Not the bear, because that's a common
name. Same family, though, right?
No.
Oh.
No, it's like a common northern Italian last name. And I say northern.
Right.
Okay. I gotta tell you, Vic, Yogi Berra was a Lombard by heritage.
That? How about that?
And Joe Garagiola was
that?
A Lombard by heritage.
They end up neighbors right across the street.
Right
from
across
other.
The street. And I know you East Coast Italians. I know you're St. Louis transplant now. Welcome.
Thank you.
East Coast Italians just assume Yogi was Southern Italian.
I did. I thought he was Napoli down like me.
I had a guy from Long Island one tell me, I'm giving a private tour of the Hill. I do tours of the Hill as well. And he said, thank God my mother didn't, my mother's dead because she would have died if she found out Yogi Berra was a Northern
was
Italian.
North.
Yeah.
You know, Yogi moved to New Jersey from here.
He Montclair.
Montclair, New
1948.
Jersey. And Montclair and the town I lived in, Bloomfield, were the big Thanksgiving Day rivalry.
Is that right?
We played Montclair every Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And when I was a junior, we had a terrible fight, just a terrible fight during the Thanksgiving to get so bad that the police had to come on the field.
Madonna.
Okay. Madonna. So the next year, as kind of a peace offering, some of the kids from Montclair would come to our school, you know, with their jersey on, and we'd pair them up with one of our players, and we'd hang out.
A kumbaya moment.
And then we went to their school,
yeah.
And I just happened to get teamed up with Dale Berra.
No kidding.
We hung out all day.
Oh.
And then years later, when I was here in St. Louis, They released a book by Yogi, all his yogiisms.
Oh, there's several books out on his yogiisms.
Every page was a different one, right? So I would read them on the air. And every day I would read another one leading up to opening day of that season. So somebody here, one of Berra's relatives, writes a letter to Dale Berra in New Jersey at Montclair State at the Yogi Berra Museum. And then I get a package in the mail from Dale that says, hey, Vic, thanks for reading Dad's quotes. And he sent me an autographed copy of the Yogi Berra book.
No kidding.
Yeah, I didn't even think he would have remembered me, Dale.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
You know, there's a yogiism that you've never heard about.
Tell me.
Okay. His niece, Mary Frances, lives in the house now on Elizabeth Street, which we call Hall of Fame place, because Yogi's Hall of Fame, Joe Garagiola's baseball announcing Hall of Fame, and Jack Buck also lived on that block for 5 years. Wow. Anyway, they're trying to figure out what hospital his firstborn son, Larry, was born in here in St. Louis. And Mary Frances says, I don't know. And Yogi says, well, you know, that Christian hospital. St. Mary's? No. That Christian Catholic hospital. St. Anthony's? No. Oh, I remember. It was Barnes Jewish.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Yeah.
His, you know, I don't know. I don't want to waste too much time on this and take it away from
But anyway, the book is like, I'm giving a private tour right next to you. You carry that book with you on the hill, and it gives you a block-by-block
scenario. Outer loop, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And like you said, I've got my all 28 restaurants and delicatessens covered in that book. There's five different walks, as we call them, and I have two foodie walks in the book. And so,
Foodie Phase 1.
Yeah, Foodie Phase 1. And Foodie Phase 2.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So,
Wait a minute.
Yes,
wait
sir.
A minute. Now, when you're
Ashbet
the moment. When you were highlighting the show, me anyway, an hour or two ago, and you said, hey, what about that bocce? You said bocce. That's a mortal sin here in St. Louis, Vic. I got to tell you that. You know, bocce. What's bocce mean in Italian? Bocce.
Kiss.
Yeah. So.
Dammi un bocce.
So,
give me a kiss.
If you come to me and say, hey, let's bocce. I'm not that kind of guy.
Got it.
I'm not that kind of guy, Vic.
Not that there's anything wrong with
that.
No.
It's fine. But we say bocce.
I never thought of it that way. I never thought.
Funny.
In New Jersey, we said bocce ball, right? But bocce means kiss. You know, dammi un bacio, give me a kiss.
Yeah,
so now I get it. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, so we can bocce my cool. No.
And by the way, I suck at bocce. I play with Ray Maxwell.
It's an easy game. Come on,
I'm not good at it. Yeah, Ray's like Mr. Scientific. Forget about it.
Yeah. But go to the private club. Is there?
That's where I go.
Oh, you kidding?
And he goes and kicks my ass every time I play him.
Well, it's not like playing outdoors.
No,
you know, you got to be precise.
Yeah, absolutely,
you really do. Well, let's talk about
back
food.
To the book.
No food
is okay. Food. So there is a delicatessen, Marconi and Daggett. And it's Di Gregorio's Market.
Yeah,
I can only assume you're related to the Di Gregorio's.
We are, but if you notice, they spell it differently. D-I, their D-I's were the D-E's.
I did not notice that.
No, but you got some Oliva Schiacciata today.
Let's get back to the spelling. Why is it D-E, not D-I?
Yeah, D-I. Okay. My grandfather, when he was going for his citizenship back in the 20s, Joseph Di Gregorio, the judge called him up and say, Mr. Di Gregorio, please come forward.
Okay.
And being a proud man, he said, I'm sorry, Your Honor, you pronounce it Di Gregorio. And the judge said, well, why didn't you spell it that way?
Right.
He said, okay. And so when the DIs came over, this was the early 50s, eight kids and a widow. My grandfather sponsored them over. His brother had died. And they are the American success story.
Yeah.
They really are. And they love listening to your program.
Do they really?
Yes, they do.
My goodness.
I talked to cousin Sal Di Gregorio just this morning. And he said, yeah, I know Vic. I know Vic. His show is really good.
Grazie. So, all right. So, my family, half of my family were Falcones. And then the other half were Falcons. Because they dropped the E to sound less Italian.
Got it.
Because the Italians were discriminated against like any other ethnicity.
Of course, of course.
Sorry, that explains that. All right, now get on to the salad that you brought.
Okay, the book itself, what do you want me to do?
The salad. Tell me about the salad.
The salad. What salad? It's not salad. We call it Oliva Schiacciata. Olive salad.
I thought they call it insalata scasciati.
That's an East Coast Italian thing. Come on.
Okay. So it's olive scasciati. So it's just olives all crushed up.
Exactly.
Right. Scasciati means break, you know, smash. And my Naples dialect They drop all the last letters. So we just say, this is Gashat.
Exactly. See, that's why we're different on the Hill, which, as you know, is going through a renaissance right now.
Yes, it is.
And it's just wonderful. My dad would be so proud. He did the tours of the Hill for 25 years. Aww. I took over 2005, been doing them for 17 years now.
So this book is called The Hill, A Walk Through History. How do we get it?
You get it on the Hill businesses, various Hills businesses. I have book signings, one coming up tomorrow. You can get it on Amazon.com.
Where's the book signing?
The book signing is going to be at a nursing home.
So, okay.
Is that okay?
You bet.
Okay.
And you can get it on Amazon?
Yes.
Okay. So I got to ask.
Yeah.
Is there anything in the book about, you know, this thing of ours?
The La Mano Negro?
Yeah.
No, but I got to tell you this. We did have incidents during Prohibition. Making moonshine was a cottage industry.
Sure.
There are so many tunnels, so many false basements in that neighborhood. I do Prohibition tours, and I take people and I show them the tunnels.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And if you did cross somebody up during that time, you paid a price.
That's right.
You paid a price, but it wasn't... You know, downtown Sicilians were more mafia, and we also catered to Chicago.
Right.
Catered to Chicago. When my dad and mom got married, there was like a five guys from Chicago giving them like $100 a piece. He didn't know who they were.
Right.
He didn't know who they were. Right. So it was interesting time.
Yep. I know that, on the Hill, there were some incidents, shall we say, that happened there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And nobody puts that in the books. Nobody puts the...
Well, there was one book a few years ago that touted a couple of them, but my father gave me all the stories. I learned stories from other people. The mafia was not totally big on the Hill. They just carried out orders for moonshine.
Right. You know, moonshining during Prohibition... One of the biggest moonshiners in this country, bootleggers, I should say.
Yeah.
One of the biggest bootleggers in this country, Ken, was Joe Kennedy, John F. Kennedy's father.
Oh, really?
One of the biggest bootleggers in the country.
Oh, wow.
Joe Kennedy.
Yeah, and they'd bring stuff in from Detroit.
Right.
From Canada through Detroit, yep. Yes. And that was a period of time I will not wince on or deny. It happened.
Of course it happened, because you can't prohibit things like that. That only made Al Capone rich, is all it did, right? Prohibition just made Al Capone rich.
Well, that's like today, you know, you've got the drug thing, and if you legalize the drugs, if you don't, it's going to make the bad guys rich.
Exactly right.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly,
but, right. You know, I also talk about the personalities in the book.
Isn't that funny? We are.
Can I call you Goomba?
No, call me Paisan. I'll be happy with Paisan. So tell me about the personalities.
Yeah, personalities. I wanted to cover the obvious, Yogi Berra, Joe Gargiulo, but I wanted to cover some personalities of contemporary times, like Joe Barbaya. We call him the mayor of the Hill because he's involved in everything.
Uh-huh.
Another one is Chris Saraceno, who's president of the local neighborhood association, who's involved in everything. And those guys deserve to be mentioned in the book as well.
And the soccer player?
The soccer player, you know, Frank Borgi.
Yeah.
All right, that's in the past. He helped win the contest against England in the 1950 World Cup.
They made a movie about that.
That's right. It's called The Game of Their Lives.
Right.
The Game of Their Lives. Yeah. And it's a great movie. Somebody Butler played the main role.
That's awesome.
And then you talk about Jeff Cacciatore, a contemporary great Hall of Fame soccer player as well.
That's awesome. I also love that there's little did you know sections, you know?
Yeah.
Just little tiny little stories.
Yeah. I just try to make it interesting. Yogi Bear's real nickname growing up here, Vic, was not Yogi. It was Laudie.
Huh. His mother, name was Larry, right?
Yeah, no. His mother gave him the American name Lawrence.
Oh, okay.
Well, because she ran out of family names after three boys.
Right.
And she couldn't pronounce it, so she pronounced it Laudie. And everybody here growing up called him Laudie. I have a picture in one of my bags I gave you of me, Yogi Berra, and Joe Gargiulo.
Oh, wow.
Great guys.
Yeah. So Yogi Berra, as we mentioned before, moved to Montclair, New Jersey.
Right.
And he and Phil Rizzuto, played for the Yankees and then became the broadcaster for the Yankees for so many years. They had a bowling alley named Rizzuto Berra Lanes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we used to go bowling there all the time.
Beetle Baby, she says that Mr. Borgi was my neighbor and I played with his kids.
How about that?
No kidding.
Yeah, that's one of our listeners.
Yeah, one of his kids is a great bartender at a place called Oliva on the Hill. As a matter of fact, they have a wind down Wednesday.
All right, Joe, I could do this all day, but we are out of time. The book is called The Hill, A Walk Through History by Joseph DiGregorio. Pick it up where again, real quick?
Pick it up on all the businesses of The Hill, Schnucks, bookstores, and Amazon.
All right, fantastic. Awesome. E un piacere.
E piacere.
Great to meet you.
Grazie tante.
Greg. All right.
Nice to meet you too as well, Joe.
My pleasure. Nice American boy.
All right. Hey, listen. Thanks for having the record player on at night to listen to us this morning.
Make sure you have the record player on at night.
Jimmy Failor coming up on 94.1. Dan Bongino on 101.9. Kenny and I'll see you tomorrow at 9 on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
Whoosh.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.